restless, and yes, I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong, they are weak, but he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me.
Thank you.
Good evening. I'm Brianna Canyon's younger brother. No, I'm just kidding. My name is Jaden. For those of you who don't know me, I'm from Richland. So today, I'm going to kind of tell you about the last couple months I've been facing. So Judah asked our college career class if there was anybody who would like to do something. I originally had signed up to do like a song or something and was trying to put together a quartet that didn't really work out. So here I am. I'm now going to tell you about my life struggles and try to make it go together. It's actually kind of interesting because the sermon that John Schlafly III just had went along really well with kind of how I was tying up my notes and stuff for this. One of the points that he made was how, well, the whole sermon was about how the past is in the past. We have the future ahead of us, but we can take the direct route, we can take the journey up with God. So bear with me. I'll try to struggle through this. So the last couple of years have truly just been a really crazy time for me. I was doing a thing called Running Start in the Tri-Cities areas when like high school students can apply for college courses. It's not like an AP thing. This is like when you actually go to the campus, take some classes, and you get a running start in your career. So I was doing that, taking classes at college on top of high school classes, and you think that a 2.75 GPA for your first semester was bad? I had a 1.6 at the end of my quarter. So, yeah, I know it was pretty bad. It was terrible. In fact, I was put on academic probation for it. So I had to take some other things to kind of clear that up so I could even be in the running to take it classes the next quarter. That was a hard time. Not really want to talk about, though. So so college life, it was something interesting getting into it, taking a lot of classes. I have to try to balance my high school classes, which is, they do things a lot differently. For those of you who don't believe me yet, you will one day. They do things, college classes, they're just much more difficult. So I was balancing all that on top of trying to figure out who I was. This was before I was baptized. I was baptized last year. And ever since those kind of days, my life had been up and down, all around. I didn't even know where I was going most of the time, kind of just taking it one step at a time, but ending up lost everywhere I went. So then I started having thoughts like, you know, I need to give everything up that I've been struggling with and follow Christ. And so last year, it was June 21st, Father's Day, I believe, 30 years after my dad, same day, 30 years after my dad, I was baptized on the same day as him. So kind of cool. But I was baptized. And my life was kind of like, for that little bit of time right after the baptism, seemed like it was going to be perfect from then on out. And I was like, yay. And everybody's like, you know, that's not going to last. And I was like, you don't know me. Like, my bad stuff is already behind me. I'm moving forward now. That didn't happen either. So I was really discouraged for a long time. All the balancing, I had people at my high school, like, I had a lot of bad friends beforehand. I cut those out when I was baptized, and I tried to find Christian friends to hang out with. Got my Christian friends, and they were really encouraging, trying to build me up, but it was just not working. they would say really, really positive things. They would try to build me up. And I mean, it was like, yep, it was great for that moment. And then I would move on. And soon I started to realize that, you know, I still didn't give everything up and follow Christ. So following my notes here, I began praying for God's direction again in my life, trying to give him control back. And this is starting like summerish last year, I would say probably after camp, praying for God's direction and really trying to bring my life back to where I was when I'd just been like baptized. Youth choir was coming, all those things, and I wanted to make those opportunities really devoted towards him. And still was struggling, still going through a lot of things, talked with my parents a lot, but I mean, it wasn't getting me anywhere. Ups and downs at schools, good classes, good professors, bad professors, all those different things. Then turned over into this year, January, new quarter at school. And this is where it really all starts happening. My last quarter at school was a nightmare, at CBC. So that's the college I was going to. I mean, you talk about stress. You have a lot of life decisions to be making. I thought Running Start was going to be a great thing in my life. Like, yeah, I get to get ahead of myself. But I have 2 years into college now, finishing up my last year, and I had no idea what direction I was going to go. I wanted to do nursing. I wanted to apply that program. I felt most prepared for that. And so I started looking into those options and researching it, doing things like that. My phone's in low power mode, so it shuts off every 30 seconds. Really bad. And I realized, like, nothing is going to get better without God. Like, I'd been really pushing for him, really trying, but my life was just a mess. I mean, I wasn't doing anything, like, particularly bad, but, like, I guess in the mind of God, all sin is bad. So, I mean, I didn't have him in my life. Like, I wasn't giving regular time to him. I wasn't doing the things that I had really wanted to do. And so towards the end of the quarter, I had a stats class that I was trying to pass in, didn't end up passing that either. It doesn't count against my career, but I didn't have a GPA that the program that I want to run for would like. And I went into a counseling office and asked them, what kind of courses do I need to finish up my career or finish up prerequisites so I can get into the nursing program? And I had been told only 3 classes and I would be able to finish that up. So I enrolled in some summer courses, and by doing that, I was going to miss camp. I was going to miss youth choir and most likely going to miss an opportunity to go legacy. And it was like frustrating. I've never really missed a year of camp in my life. I've really enjoyed going on youth choir these last couple of years, and they have definitely been a vital role in my life for helping me grow in Christ, things like that. And I was really discouraged even further, thinking, like, I'm just never going to graduate. I rolled in those 3 classes, went to talk to the counselor, and they told me, oh, no, you have some other ones. Like, you have about a year and a half worth more before you can even consider applying for our program. And I was like, you got to be kidding me. Like, I was working with you guys to try to figure this out, like, so I wouldn't be in the situation where I didn't have the courses that I needed. It really frustrated me. But what I'm kind of trying to say is, God was, I was at the time, so leading back to the sermon that he was talking about, I tried to correlate it as it was happening. And I said, about this time, I started my strain, if that sounds familiar from his sermon, straining to try to connect with God again, straining to go back to that way, praying regularly and doing those things to try to get that direction back in my life. And sooner after that, my dad, we were in the living family room, and he was booking flights for my sisters who were applied to youth choir and were already accepted. And he's like, "Jaden, you should apply for youth choir." And I was like, "Oh, but I've got courses. I want to do summer courses. I want to do all this. I want to get things wrapped up." And he told me, like, "No, you have this opportunity to do something that'll bring you closer with your walk with God." And so he's like, "I'm going to buy a plane ticket for you, and we're going to hope that Krista says you're accepted." So this is like 3 weeks after applications have been like opening, the process for applications have been opened. And I sent my application. The next morning I woke up and I had an email saying, "Oh yes, we would love to have you on tour. And however you'd like to work out those things." And I was like, "Are you kidding me? Like, what turned, like, this whole busy summer that was going to take up all my time just turned into an opportunity to go on youth choir." I still hadn't secured a way to get to camp yet, but I was looking forward to, like, youth choir at least. Then I was able to find a way here because I'm here. I was able to do a program. I was, and I made my way up here, even though I wasn't planning on it, and it has been an amazing blessing in my life. So all those times that I had been trying to work towards Christ again, work towards God and redevote my life and try to do those things, I haven't been going. And when I get here, I know that people talk about the camp, kind of like you get all hyped for it and it only lasts for a little while. But I'm really hoping, and maybe you guys could help me pray for me, but I'm hoping that this will be an opportunity that I can, with all the things that are coming up, continue, strain for Jesus. And now I'm able to go, the last thing is I'm able to go to Legacy. And I have been really wanting to do that. It didn't look like it was going to be happening for the most time, for most of this last couple of years. Like, I was really disappointed that I didn't look like I was going to be able to go. And now that I'm not doing courses or anything, I'm looking forward to this time to grow. And here at camp, I've learned a lot about, from the forums, about prayer, about the meaning of prayer, like the way to pray, all these different things. I've learned from the sermons, all the classes, Judah's class. It's been awesome. Hearing testimonies like the one we heard last night, and then the sermon that we heard today. All those things have really spoke to me, and I'm just glad that God is helping right now in my life, lead me so I can really push to Him. And so that's kind of where I am right now, just thankful, hoping that God will work with me. And I just want to thank Him for all the different things that He's worked out in my life that I never thought were possible, and just give Him the praise for that. So.
So apparently, in this book, there's one song that's not in English. It's the only song in Spanish, Con Que Pagaremos, number 181. So I don't know whose idea it was between the two of you to sing it, but somehow I became a part of this group, so we're gonna sing it. But before that, I'd like to read the translation for you in English. So this is what the words say. With what do we repay a love so vast that you gave your life for the sinner? In exchange, accept the humble offering, Lord Jesus Christ, of my heart. And when the night spreads out her mantle, my weeping eyes will be fixed on you. With my eyes lifted up, I will see the stars. I know that from beyond them, loving Father, you watch over me. I cannot repay you with neither gold or silver, the great sacrifice that you have made for me. I have nothing to give you for such love that you've shown me, except this song mingled with tears and my heart.
¿Con qué pagaremos amor tan inmenso que diste tu vida por el pecador? la ofrenda humilde, Señor Jesucristo, de mi corazón. La ofrenda humilde, Señor Jesucristo, de mi corazón. Y cuando la noche extiende su manto, mis ojos en llanto en ti fijaré, alzando mis ojos, veré las estrellas. Yo sé que tras ellas, cual Padre amoroso, tú velas por mí. Yo sé que tras ellas, cual Padre amoroso, tú velas por mí. No puedo pagarte con oro ni plata el gran sacrificio que hiciste por mí. No tengo que darte, por tanto amarme. Recibe este canto mezclado con llanto y mi corazón. Recibe este canto mezclado con llanto y mi corazón.
So sorry about this. Before I announce the next song, I just want to say one more thing. I forgot the main point of what I was trying to say, which is really bad. It just shows you I was really scatterbrained. Anyway, the sermon that J3 had said about leaving the past in the past and moving forward in the stride towards Jesus. And I want to encourage you all that while we're here at camp, it's a perfect time. We're in this hype to leave the past behind after we've heard all these amazing things and stride upwards towards Christ. So the next special number is My Savior, My Love with Sarah, Chloe, and Corey.
I don't know if y'all can hear me, but the song that they're going to be singing is a song that I wrote many years ago when I was teaching public school still. And it starts out with a well-known hymn and just says, you know, I stand alone in the presence of Jesus, the Nazarene, or I stand amazed in the presence. But it starts out talking about God's love for us and how he loves us even though we're sinners. But one of the things that I really struggled with as a public school teacher was working with kids who had no idea, no context for love, and trying to demonstrate to them what God's love was. And so a lot of this question is, the song is just my pondering of how do I show you what God's love is and how amazing it is for me and the fact that I want them to experience it also. And it ends up with the same hymn that it starts with and just talking about how marvelous, how wonderful God's love is. And it's just a reminder to me that I'm not the one who has to communicate that love to the people around me, but that the Holy Spirit will do that. And it's really he who works in the lives of the people that I come in contact with, whether it's my students, my neighbors, people at church, or anywhere that I'm at, that it's really his love that is the one that touches hearts and works in the lives of people.
Stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene, and wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned, unclean. You know it's not enough to show you that his love is for real. And how do I show you what I feel when the words I know are not enough to tell you that his grace is sincere? This joy that he's given to me is the triumph of my soul, 'cause he has set me free. Now it's you that he longs to. Show you that his love is for real. And how do I show you what I feel when the words I know are not enough to tell you that his grace is sincere? Alleluia, alleluia.
Yes, I'm so free. He has set you free too.
Alleluia.
All he's given to me, given to you.
Alleluia.
So free, he has set you free too.
Alleluia.
Am I so free, he's given to you.
Alleluia.
Am I so free, he has set you free too.
Alleluia.
All he's given to me, he has given to you.
Sweet and sweet face, and how do I tell you love, and a love that you know is not enough to show you that his love is for real. How do I show you what I feel when the words I know are not enough to tell you that his grace is sincere? How do I tell you of his love when a love that you know is not enough to show you that his love is for real? Do I show you what I feel when the words I know are not enough to tell you that his grace is sincere? Oh, how marvelous, oh, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous,
evening. Just want to start with a prayer real quick. Dear Lord, just thank you for this amazing week that you've given to us, this from the beautiful weather to the safe travels of all of us getting here, Lord. I just pray that you will continue to fill the space with your presence, Lord, with your spirit, and help it move it through us, Lord. In your name, amen. So what I find amazing is how the Spirit does move. Before I even heard John's sermon tonight, again, Judas asked his class to share, and I was like, oh, if you need me, I'll do it. And he came up to me, he's like, I need you. So my plan was to just do a quick recap of things that kind of hit me this week. And one of those things that hit me was Philippians 3, 7 through 14, and then John does a sermon basically right around that and on that, and that's no coincidence. So I'm going to start with a point that Nathan brought up was, are you happy with where you are in your life right now? Be honest with yourself, because it's really easy to say, yeah, sure, whatever, but really think about that question again. Are you happy? I know I'm not. I looked at my life probably about 2 weeks ago, and it finally really just hit me in the face. What am I doing? I got to the point where I was just going through the motions, wasn't going up, wasn't going down, just kind of sailing, going absolutely nowhere in circles. And got to the point and I was just like, I'm done. I need to make a change. And I've tried doing it on my own, I don't know how many times, and you get absolutely nowhere. You might go up like a speed bump, and that's about as high as you'll get. And then you come right back down. And that amount of time, too. And then how Nathan pointed it out, is there something holding you back? Something you're not willing to let go of, that you're willing to basically die because of? And that, again, hit me pretty strong. There's a number of things in my life that I don't necessarily look to as bad or necessarily even as sinful, but what I've made it to be in my life, it is. And that needs to stop. And then something that really got to me in Judah's class was how we all know Paul as this firm rock, this foundation that the church was built on. But yet in Philippians, he says, I am still striving towards that goal. I am nowhere near it, and I have not attained it. So I just want to quickly read Philippians 3, 7 through 14. But whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things... I count all things to be lost in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ, and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is brought through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it, or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold of that for which also I was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And the whole part where it's letting go of the past and going forward, I've had some pretty big hiccups in my past that been hurt by others, friends, or relationships, myself, and that's all my focus had been on for the past couple of years, that like this has happened and I've blamed all my struggles and problems on those things and it's not gotten me anywhere. And seeing that and knowing and reading that Paul has struggled through those same things and how John pointed out like pretty awkward situations Paul probably got himself into. And honestly, I chuckled at that, but I have to let go of that and forget it and truly forget it so I can push on. And then something that my Uncle Richard said probably in the sermon before coming to camp, and then again he said in the sermon here, that every single person you meet is not a mere mortal. Every being on earth, that is, like every person, is going to live in eternity. Whether it's heaven or hell, they will be there. And that's a scary thought at times, a lot of times actually, because that person that annoys you in traffic or you're judging from across the room or whatever it is, that person's going to spend an eternity somewhere. And are you helping them get there? And so I just wanted to recap on that part of it and really be diligent with your thoughts, your words, your actions, striving always towards Christ, because you don't know who's watching, who's taking you as an example, whether for good or for bad. You're impacting somebody's life, whether you know it or not. And I just want to call up the next two numbers. God, you are faithful, and then Holy Spirit.
So a couple of things before this next song. One thing I just find incredible, I have to share it because Silas and Jaden have both shared about it. John 3, your sermon tonight was exactly something I had discussed with someone this afternoon regarding things leading up to becoming Christian, you know, all of the places we go and all the sin we get ourselves into, and how we leave that behind and we become a Christian, and how baptism is an essential part of that, and just encouraging and exhorting this person. And then the idea that we need to be plugged in, we need to be serving, we need to be volunteering and active in our church, in our family, in our community. And the Spirit works in mysterious ways. I don't know and will not claim to know why things like that happen, but it's amazing. And secondly, I was going to ask all of you a couple of questions tonight. And then I realized they were questions we could all answer to. Questions like, how many of us have pain in our lives? How many of us are unsure of the future? How many of us run away from God, rely on ourselves? And so I didn't need to ask, because I know the answer. And I came to the realization that even though we are just a small number, everyone can say yes. And so as we sing this next song, I encourage you to focus on those things and the other things that are part of you, part of your life, and how God is faithful to each one of us through all of it. matter how hard it seems, no matter how many shattered dreams, you work in ways too marvelous for me. And if I can't understand why this is from your hand, God, you're faithful through the storm. You see the breadth of time, and I don't even see mine. God, you see the breadth of time, and I don't even see mine.
Sit down.
There's nothing worth more that will ever come close.
no thing can compare. You're our living host. Your presence I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of loves, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence
Evening, everyone. I just want to share something here. I know what's touched me is how I'm campfires down here every night, and just be able to enjoy the sunsets and just be able to think, how can anyone else paint the picture? Only God could. Man, we don't see how that can be. And just, it's so exciting to be able to experience him in my life. I can, Mary, you'll be able to see these things and things we talked to this week about, and just encourage anyone who doesn't, haven't experienced God in their life, that to do so. It's very important, and how exciting it is. I know when I first gave my testimony first time, I remember how he showed me that being a cave, it's dark, you know, you can't see at all, and just, it's impossible. And without him, you can't. And I encourage anyone that's here that hasn't to do so. And there'll be a number, How Great Thou Art, by Sophie and Vivian.
I was excited when Judah invited the college class to participate tonight because I'm in college, sort of. But I was even more excited a couple of months ago when I found out the theme of this camp, Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. Because it's a verse that's meant a lot to me over the years, but it's not just the verse that means a lot to me, it's the concept that means a lot, being totally sold out to pursuing the knowledge of Jesus Christ. So if you go to Phoenix, Arizona, and you go a little bit east to a suburb of Scottsdale, and then you go to the south side of the suburb of Scottsdale, you'll find a cemetery there, Green Acres Cemetery. And if you go to the southwest corner of the cemetery and walk through the gravestones there, you'll find a gravestone that's engraved with the words of Philippians 1:21, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I remember the man who's buried there. When I lived in Phoenix, he had a Bible study just a few months before he passed away. And the topic of his Bible study was Psalm 63, verse 3, which says, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Thy loving kindness is better than life. Our mind wandered during the Bible study. We sang the song, remember some of you, "Thy loving kindness is better than life." Sometimes we sang the song and we didn't really think about the words too much. But his mind didn't wander during that Bible study that night because he was dying and he knew it, but nobody else knew it. And he was still able to say, "Thy loving kindness, God, is better than life. It's okay if you take my life. It's okay as long as you don't take your loving kindness away from me." So I'll come back to the story in a few minutes, but right now I want to reflect a little bit on whether it could be truly said of me, for him to live is Christ and to die is gain. And I wonder what people will say about me when I die. He was a great teacher. He was a great professor. Maybe even he was a great husband. I hope not. Actually, I do hope that they say those things about me. But much more than that, I hope that the overriding goal and passion of my life, the defining characteristic of my life, is my passion for Jesus Christ, and that I could honestly say with Paul that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. And what will we say about you when you're gone? She was a great mother. She was a great musician. She was a great artist. She was a great teacher. He was a great counselor. He was a great athlete. He was a great leader. He was a great businessman. I hope not. Actually, I hope that many of these things might be said about you and might be true about you, but much more than that, I hope that the overriding goal and passion of your life is that you can honestly say, along with the Apostle Paul, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. I pray that every one of us could catch the passion of the theme of this week, Philippians 1:21, and that after this week, we would never look at Philippians 1:21 the same again, that we'll share it with our churches when we get home, that we'll pray the words of Philippians 1:21 back to our Lord on a daily basis, that we'll meditate on each word, that will allow the truth of Philippians 1:21 to sink deep into our souls. Now back to the story. The reason I know about that gravestone in Phoenix and the reason that I remember those details about the Bible study on Psalm 63 is because the grave belongs to my dad, and he's the one who has Philippians 1:21 on his gravestone. He's the one who led the Bible study. He died almost 40 years ago, but I still remember that although he was very busy with his family and with his own business, with interests and hobbies, it could truly be said of him, for him to live was Christ and to die was gain. The words aren't just written on his gravestone, but they were written in his heart also. And this week, each one of us has been given the tools and the knowledge to live for Christ. He's the only one worth living for, the only one worth dying for. He's the only one worth devoting our lives to. Compared to him, everything else in our lives is just rubbish, dung, and manure. Will you join me? Will you join the Apostle Paul? Will you join all those who have gone before us in devoting yourself to knowing Jesus Christ, to pursuing the knowledge of Jesus Christ, to straining for that prize of knowing Jesus Christ? Now we'll have a special number, Far Kingdom, followed by a closing prayer.
So while he's singing, is this mic on? Can you hear me? Okay. This song is called Far Kingdom, and I just wanted to point out some of the main verses in this song. So it's talking about a kingdom, a perfect kingdom that we're one day going to go to. It says, there is a far kingdom a ways from here, beyond the storms and the sea. There is a far kingdom on the other side of the glass, and by a faint light we see. There is a far kingdom at the end of the sea, where they know my name. And until that far kingdom calls me home, O my soul, I will wait. A river ever clear and full from the fount that overflows in the light of the kingdom. When we drink from this river, it will bring us joy, and it will make us full in the light of the kingdom.
There is a far kingdom a ways from here, beyond the storm and the sea. There will be no need of darkness, none for tears when that kingdom I see. There's a river we will know, ever clear and ever full, from the fount that overflows light of the King. When we drink it, we will find this joy before our eyes. It'll rise on in the kingdom. In the kingdom, and there is a far kingdom, the other side of the glass, and by a faint light we see. Still, there is more. There's a river we will know, ever come.
Let's pray. Father, we praise you for this week. And as our emotions are mixed, because we look at this final campfire and see the dwindling, we pray that your Spirit would help us, each one of us as individuals, to fan into flame the gifts that you have placed into us by the power of your Spirit. Father, you know us. You know the tendencies. You know our mindsets. You know how we arrived, and you know how we may leave. But Father, we pray that as we see this fire going down, that those flames in our hearts would build up and that we would become the people of God that are so excited about serving you that there is nobody that comes in contact with us when we go home that will not receive or will not be open to the gospel. We thank you that the salvation that has been given to us freely will not dwindle like this fire, but can be ignited not only in a greater way in our own hearts, but Father, help us to be the catalysts so that our families would also burst into spiritual flames, so that our churches can be revived and we can go out into this world rejoicing because you are alive in our hearts. We depend on you now. We ask for revival individually. We ask that you would revive our families spiritually. We would ask that you would revive our churches and that we would return here next year excited and more excited about what we can do for your kingdom. We praise you for your word. We praise you for all that you have done for us. We thank you that we do not need to bring anything to you and that you have given us everything that we need for life and godliness. We depend on you now, and I ask that you would also extinguish the flames that may be burning in the hearts of some that Satan has placed there for them to provoke themselves to doing evil rather than good, Lord. We pray for your protection on this campground. We pray that you would disseminate and destroy any evil, any weapon that has been formed against anybody that would cause this camp to end in a bitter note. We pray that your Spirit would move, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.